This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Prezel. Sally Jenkins is a veteran sports journalist and is in the front row with Betsy Ross talking about her new book about the life and current health battle of former University of Tennessee women's basketball coach Pat Summitt.
Sally Jenkins has written some of the most definitive sports books and articles of our time, a writer for Sports Illustrated, now with the Washington Post. She conducted the last interview with Joe Paterno. She's written the bestseller, It's Not About the Bike, with Lance Armstrong. She joined Pat Summitt to write Reach for the Summit a few years ago, and now she's joined with Coach again for a, I guess you can call it a bittersweet biography with Coach Summitt called Sum It Up. It is our honor to have Sally Jenkins with us this morning on the front row. Sally, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It is a bittersweet look at Pat Summitt's life. A lot of the stories have been chronicled before, but, you know, now we kind of look at it with a different eye, I guess, now that we know what Coach Summitt is facing. But, you know, before we get into the diagnosis of Alzheimer's and all that, let's kind of look at Pat Summitt's life as she grew up to be a basketball player and then later on a coach. It was really all about her childhood, and it seems as if her early years, at least, all she wanted to do was please her father.
Well, I think that's true. You know, she grew up on a dairy and tobacco farm in Henrietta, Tennessee. Her father was a very imposing character, 6'6" tall with huge blue eyes that I think most people found pretty frightening, including Pat. They worked hard. I mean, the only phrase that really describes how her parents started out is dirt farmers. Mm-hmm. It's not a polite phrase, but it's what they were. Her father sold a mule for $100 to get the money to get married, and he worked for $4 a day as a hired hand before they ever owned any property to farm themselves. So, you know, really scratched, I mean, out of a log cabin. I mean, Pat was spent her early years in a log cabin that had no indoor plumbing or electricity. And the only heat was from a fireplace and a coal stove. So that tells you how rudimentary her beginnings really were.
She found out she loved basketball, played basketball with her brothers up in the barn, and really she saw basketball as finally her ticket out. And one of her early memories that she mentions that you write about in the book was that, you know, she wanted to make the U.S. Olympic team, period. And you might as well have said, I'm going to walk on the moon, for a girl with that background to say, I'm going to make the U.S. basketball team. And she did.
Well, that's right. And they were, you know, in 1976, there were very few fathers who were invested in the sports success of their daughters. But Richard was one of them. Richard actually is the one who gave her the idea. You know, he knew that women's basketball was going to be included in the Olympics for the first time in 1976. And he told Pat, you should think about, you know, trying out for that team. It was an extraordinary thing for him to suggest, but she was tall. She was extremely talented. She'd grown up playing alongside her brothers. And by the way, you know, you hear these quaint stories about Pat learning to play ball in a hayloft with her brothers. Mm-hmm. And then you meet those brothers, and I mean, they are gigantic. Her brother Tommy is 6'6" and was a scholarship player at Austin Peay. So, I mean, those games were really intense. And until you meet her brothers, you can't get the full picture of what that experience was for her. And her brothers will tell you she gave as good as she got. She would hit you back. So at any rate, she goes on to the Olympics in 1976, not only makes the team, but becomes the captain of it and brings home a silver medal, which made her, you know, a huge celebrity in the state of Tennessee.
The idea of women playing basketball, you know, thankfully these days it's no big deal. You know, we see them on television playing basketball collegiately, and when the WNBA kicks in, we'll see it on television then. But, you know, back then, sometimes we forget, before Title IX, it was not necessarily a popular sport, and it was certainly not funded at all. And there are some great stories in the book about, you know, piling everybody in the station wagon or the car and driving and driving and driving while the men's team got to fly. And, you know, it was different back then, but it was something that I think that Pat Summitt, when it's chronicled in the book, it also kind of formed her coaching philosophy and maybe her philosophy on life, that it's not going to come easy, but it was something that she and her team had to work through to kind of overcome the handmade uniforms and no transportation, but they still went out and they still won.
Well, they did, and they were self-made. You know, Pat's a self-made person, and all of her teams were self-made, particularly in the early years when she was having to do the team laundry and tape their ankles and basically be the janitor in addition to and the housemaid in addition to the coach. Those early years are actually fairly hilarious stories in the book. You know, coaches were stealing equipment from the men's locker room to compete and to play. So, you know, I think that Pat feels very fondly about those years. They didn't know any different. And, you know, in some ways there's something to be said for doing more with less. And that was always Pat's attitude about Title IX when Title IX came along. You know, she's always campaigned hard for equality and equal resources. She's also campaigned hard for fiscal responsibility and not running up a bunch of red ink.
Mm-hmm.
It never made sense to her that, you know, the way to give women opportunities was to run up a bunch of deficits. You know, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she comes from a place where you ask for what you needed and nothing more. And that's actually a pretty sensible approach.
Yeah, and she, you do write about that in the book, that she said, you know, we don't need 10 pairs of sneakers, we'll take 2 pairs, and that'll be fine.
Exactly. You know, the first scholarships for women, I mean, this is how, you know, young women's sports are, and particularly women's basketball. I mean, Pat, in the state of Tennessee, women weren't even allowed to play full court basketball in public schools when she was growing up. The most controversial thing she ever did in her career was campaign with the state legislature to overturn the law that restricted women to half-court basketball. They thought that women would, you know, damage their ovaries or something if they ran full court. You had to stop at the half-court line. There were 3 women on one end of the court and 3 women on the other end of the court, and there was no crossing that center line. Well, Pat said that's ridiculous, and she campaigned in 1976 when she got home from the Olympics. She campaigned to overturn that rule for public school girls in the state of Tennessee, and said, look, I can't recruit players to our state university if they can't play full court basketball. Male high school coaches across the state bitterly resented her.
But then winning changes everything, and the program started to win. We are talking with Sally Jenkins, by the way. She is the author with Pat Summitt with the book Sum It Up, 1,098 Victories, A Couple of Irrelevant Losses, and A Life in Perspective. And, of course, we all know about how she made the University of Tennessee program a national powerhouse. The rivalry between Tennessee and UConn for years was must-see TV during the regular season, and then they usually met each other during the tournament. But then Coach Summitt decided to end that rivalry. And it was, I don't want to say controversial, but she took a stand. Like you mentioned, she didn't take a stand all that often, but she took a stand and said, we're not going to play UConn anymore. Talk about that decision and why she thought it was important for her to say, we're not going to play Geno and UConn anymore.
Well, it was the second most controversial thing she ever did in her career. She objected to some of his recruiting tactics. But more importantly, I think they had begun the rivalry with a very good relationship. They got along well. They agreed on a lot of issues. Then a lot of elbows got thrown and things soured between them. She felt like he took some cheap shots at her personally, and I think he probably felt, you know, a couple of elbows were thrown his way too. And things soured, and it got to the point where when there was a dispute about recruiting, their relationship had gotten so, you know, unpleasant that they couldn't sit down and work it out. And so Pat basically made the decision. She was in the midst of a divorce from her husband. She had gotten ill with rheumatoid arthritis, and she made a personal and professional decision that her professional world would be a lot more pleasant without UConn and Geno Auriemma in it. She felt that she had earned the right. She did not want a rivalry that was so bitter and also in which recruiting had become, you know, really unpleasant and in her mind, not ethical. And so she pulled the plug, and it was a great disappointment to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have recovered their friendship. They've let bygones be bygones. And, you know, I think Pat really wants things to be good with Geno now, and they are good with Geno. He made a very generous gesture when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He wrote a huge check to her new foundation, Pat Summitt Foundation. And so, you know, it's life in a competitive world. Pat is very competitive. Geno can be very combative. And the two didn't mix for a few years, and it was a shame. But the good news is that they're back to being very amiable.
Well, that's good. Well, you mentioned the diagnosis that Coach Summitt faced not quite 2 years now of early onset Alzheimer's. You have in there several reflections as you lead into the chapters that, of her talking either with a doctor or, you know, just talking in the car about her diagnosis. We saw her here in Cincinnati during the season because UC Women play the Marquette women, and of course her son Tyler is an assistant coach there with Marquette, and so Pat came to that game, and she was talkative. She was obviously interested in the game. If you didn't know, you wouldn't necessarily notice that there was a problem, but I'm sure just like anything else, she has good days and bad days. Is that what you found when you were talking with her?
Absolutely. And, you know, her baseline, I mean, her bad days are not that bad, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
She's perfectly lucid at all times. She is perfectly talkative and good-humored and quick and funny and as sharp as ever. You know, her bad days, she just gets quiet.
We are talking with Sally Jenkins. She is the author of the latest book by Pat Summitt. It's called Summon Up, 1,098 Victories, a Couple of Irrelevant Losses, and a Life in Perspective. I call it the latest Pat Summitt book because you know what? Let's hope that there's another one down the pipeline somewhere as well.
We hope so, too, and there may be. That's actually, we are holding out the possibility.
Well, good. Well, I hope that comes to pass, and if it does, we'll make sure that we'll get you back on here, Sally.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us on the Front Row.